Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, The Big Here and the Long Now. From Global Uniformity to the New Diversities is a nonfiction work of social anthropology and globalization studies by Thomas Hyland Erickson, published by Pluto Press. The book examines a central paradox of contemporary modernity, the same global systems that promise efficiency, growth, connection, and progress also narrow cultural, ecological, and social possibilities. Erickson approaches globalization not as a single force moving everywhere in the same way, but as a layered process in which global capitalism, standardization, development ideology, environmental strain, and identity politics meet local histories and practices. Its purpose is to explain how a long human history of diversification has been interrupted by powerful pressures toward uniformity, while also identifying spaces where new forms of diversity continue to appear. Written from an anthropological perspective, it is aimed at readers interested in globalization, environmental crisis, cultural change, and alternatives to homogenizing models of development. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the historical reversal from human diversification to global homogenization. A central concern of the book is the contrast between most of human history and the present global condition. For millennia, communities developed many ways of organizing kinship, food production, exchange, belief, art, language, and political life. This diversification was not simply decorative variation, it represented different adaptations to landscapes, climates, social needs, and moral worlds. Erickson presents the contemporary period as a reversal of that tendency because global markets, mass media, bureaucratic standards, industrial agriculture, and development models increasingly push societies toward comparable forms of production and consumption. The point is not that all difference has disappeared, but that the range of viable alternatives is being compressed. When economic success is measured through similar indicators, when cities are planned around similar infrastructures, and when local economies are absorbed into global supply chains, diversity becomes harder to sustain in practice. This historical framing gives the book its critical edge. Global uniformity is not treated as natural or inevitable, but as the outcome of specific institutions, incentives, and assumptions that have become globally dominant. Secondly, globalization is a conflict between large systems and local life worlds. Erickson is known for analyzing globalization through clashes of scale, and this book continues that approach. The global economy operates through large, abstract systems, capital flows, logistics networks, development plans, corporate strategies, standards of efficiency, and state policies. Local life worlds, by contrast, are made of situated relationships, ecological knowledge, memories, obligations, and place-based identities. The conflict arises because large systems often treat places as interchangeable units of production, extraction, investment, or governance, while local actors experience them as meaningful environments with histories and limits. This distinction helps explain why globalization produces both integration and resistance. A project that appears rational from the viewpoint of growth or national planning may undermine local subsistence, social cohesion, or ecological balance. Conversely, local practices that seem inefficient to global institutions may preserve forms of resilience that standardized systems overlook. The book therefore avoids a simplistic opposition between global and local. It shows that they constantly interact, but often on unequal terms, with global systems defining the conditions under which local diversity must survive. Thirdly, environment. Economy and identity as interlinked crises of modernity, the book situates its analysis around three interrelated crises: environmental degradation, economic instability, and identity conflict. Erickson does not treat these as separate policy problems. Environmental crisis is connected to growth-driven economies that depend on extraction, acceleration, and expanding consumption. Economic crisis is linked to systems that produce wealth while also generating insecurity, inequality, and dependence on volatile global networks. Identity crisis emerges when communities are pulled between inherited forms of belonging and standardized models of citizenship, consumer identity, nationalism, or cosmopolitanism. The anthropological value of this approach is that it shows how large crises are lived in everyday terms. Climate change, market instability, and cultural uncertainty are not abstractions for communities whose livelihoods, land use, or collective self-understanding are transformed by them. By linking the three crises, Erickson challenges narrow explanations that focus only on economics or only on culture. The book suggests that solutions also need to be connected. Ecological repair without economic change is limited. Economic reform without cultural recognition is incomplete. And identity politics without ecological awareness can become politically narrow. Fourthly, a critique of efficiency, standardization, and development optimism. The Big Here and the Long Now examines how modern ideas of progress became tied to efficiency, standardization, and economic expansion. development optimism promised that growth, technological improvement, and integration into global markets would bring prosperity and freedom. Ericsson does not dismiss the real gains associated with modernity, but he focuses on the costs that became harder to ignore: ecological damage, loss of autonomy, cultural flattening, and reduced capacity to imagine alternatives. Standardization is especially important because it converts diverse practices into comparable units. Crops, labor, education, infrastructure, and even cultural expression become easier to manage when they fit common templates. Yet what is gained in administrative clarity may be lost in adaptability and meaning. The book, therefore, questions the assumption that more integration and more efficiency are always beneficial. In a world facing overlapping crises, systems optimized for speed and scale may be brittle rather than resilient. Ericsson invites readers to ask which forms of development expand human and ecological possibility, and which forms merely reproduce the same model everywhere. When you weigh, lastly, creolization, hybridity, and biocultural diversity as sources of renewal, although the book is critical of global homogenization, it does not end in resignation. Ericsson gives attention to creolization and hybridity, concepts that describe how new cultural forms emerge through mixture, contact, adaptation, and reinterpretation. These ideas complicate any simple desire to preserve cultures as fixed and untouched. Diversity is not only inherited from the past, it can also be produced in the present, when people combine resources, languages, practices, and identities in unexpected ways. The book also highlights the revival of biocultural diversity, including efforts by activists and indigenous communities to protect or restore relationships between ecological systems and cultural knowledge. This matters because cultural diversity and biological diversity are often connected. Local food systems, land management practices, ritual calendars, and knowledge of species can support ecological resilience while also sustaining collective identity. Ericsson sees these developments as green shoots rather than guaranteed solutions. Their significance lies in showing that alternatives to uniformity already exist, even when they operate at the margins of dominant economic and political systems. In conclusion, The Big Here and the Long Now is best suited to readers who want a broad but intellectually grounded account of globalization beyond familiar arguments about markets, technology, or cultural exchange. Students and scholars of anthropology, sociology, development studies, environmental humanities, and globalization studies will find it useful because it connects abstract global processes to lived social and ecological consequences. Activists, policy-minded readers, and general readers concerned with climate change, cultural loss, and the limits of economic growth can also benefit from its framework. Its practical value lies in sharpening attention to scale, diversity, and unintended consequences. It encourages readers to ask how policies or technologies that appear efficient globally may affect local resilience, autonomy, and ecological knowledge. Compared with many books on globalization, its distinctive strength is the combination of anthropological sensitivity and large-scale diagnosis. It does not present globalization as either simple progress or simple destruction. Instead, it studies the tension between homogenizing systems and emerging diversities, including hybrid cultural forms and biocultural renewal. That balance makes the book stand out in its category. It is critical without being reductive, and hopeful without treating local alternatives as easy answers to global crises. If you would like to support Thomas Hyland Ericsson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.